It's time for the Monday Waffle, a podcast dedicated to all things West Australian Football League. Your hosts Michael Stamp and Jack Davidson are joined by Tara Carlin, Bonnie Rayner, Chaddy De Hare with expert boundary riding information, analysis of last week's game, forecast of next week's game. Did you get your tips in? Did you get your tips out? What are you planning to do next weekend? If it involves West Australian footy, just make sure you start your week with the Monday Waffle.
Well, it's finally spring, and that means it's the 1st of September, but more importantly, that means it's finals time in the Waffle. Hello, Michael Stamp with you, along with Katie DeHare. It's round 23 of the Monday Waffle, and Katie, after a few weeks of knowing the results, knowing the top four, it's finals. It's finals
time. It is, and it's exciting. I'm bloody excited, to be honest.
This weekend, it's going to be East Perth and Subiaco playing at Medibank Stadium on Sunday. And it's East Fremantle. They hung on against Subi with that points margin to hold on to their home final against Swan Districts. And this means that top four of East Perth, Subiaco, East Fremantle and Swan Districts, this is only the second time that these top four teams have made the top four together. The last time was 1961. So good variety in our top four this year, Katie.
A long time ago. And if I'm right, I'm pretty sure Swan Districts won that 1961 grand final against East Perth.
I think you are right, Katie. I think you are. Okay, so let's just go through the final ladder as it stood. East Perth finished with 16 wins, 4 losses on 64 points. Subiaco was a couple of games behind, 14-6 on 56. And then East Fremantle and Swans, they finished equal on 48 points, just the Sharks just ahead on percentage. So they really needed to hang on, didn't they, and get that home final.
They did, and a home final is very important, especially at Shark Park. East Fremantle play very well there, so it's going to be, a very interesting clash come Sunday.
And then Claremont finishing fifth, probably the hottest team in the competition.
They were, and South Fremantle as well finishing with a win. So
Claremont finished on 44. They finished with 6 wins in a row, and the last time that happened, a team finished with 6 in a row and missed the finals, was the Swan Districts in 97. So I would love to see Claremont in the finals, wouldn't you?
I would, but I think they might be a bit of a threat. So
you will not want them in the finals no. Playing your Royals. West Perth, the defending premiers, finished at 9-11 on 36, equal with South Fremantle, who played really well in the last half of the season. They finished on 9-11. Then we lower our eyes down to Peel Thunder, 4-16 with 16 points. They didn't claim the wooden spoon.
They didn't.
There's a positive.
And Perth did.
3-17, and that's 14 losses in a row.
Yeah.
So they didn't win after their first 3 games. Oh God, God, they're gonna carry that the whole off season. Yeah. Anyway, that's a bit of a shame for Demons fans, but. On Friday, a few Claremont greats retired from the game, didn't they?
They did, yeah. One of them, especially, was Luke Blackwell.
Mm, big game player, 27 years of age. He's won 2 flags with the club and a 2011 Sandover medal, and he could, in fact, win the Sandover this year, don't you reckon?
Yeah, he was in red-hot form. He's a very good chance. And Trinity Handley as well, Foster and Orzel also retired.
All played 100 games for the club, so they're not just guys that have just played 20 or 30 games.
No.
Like, really good players for them, and they'll be sorely missed, I think, next season, because Claremont might lose a few youngsters as well to the AFL.
Yeah, and it was nice to see as well on Saturday, Claremont and also East Perth did a bit of a guard of honour for them as they came through and after Claremont won. So
that's good. As soon as Claremont made these announcements, I thought, there's no way they're losing. There's no way they're losing. But I didn't change my tip, so East Perth still did pretty well.
They did, yeah. I was very impressed. We had a lot of youngsters in the team, and I think they did, very well.
Okay, let's get into the first game of round 23. It was Claremont defeating East Perth in a nail-biter. 12-12, 84 to 11-11, 77. Katie, you were there, and you were pretty nervous about your Royals, weren't you?
No, I wasn't really nervous. It was just Claremont came out firing. I think they kicked 7 goals in the first quarter and East Perth kicked 1, which was by our debutant, Jackson Slater. So,
a few debutants in the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, we've had 4 debutants in 3 weeks, so it's good to see.
Were there a few players rested from the East Perth lineup?
Oh, Nathan Blee wasn't out there and there are a couple of others that I can't think of off the top of my head, but yeah, just, I guess, giving them a bit of a break before the final start this weekend.
Yeah, and until all the Eagles take their places as well.
Oh, I'm
trying
to say that.
Trinity Hanley kicked 3 in his last game. Good on him. And Jack Bradshaw chipped him in 3 as well. Luke Blackwell had 27 touches. Another 3-vote game, I think. Jake Murphy, Monday Waffle's own Jake Murphy, 24 touches. So Claremont, they can only take positives from the second half of their season, can't they?
They can. And for East Perth, I think, well, they sort of had a chance, I guess, at the end there to win the game. It was 1 point with about a minute to go. But unfortunately, Claremont kicked a goal and they had a 7-point win.
It's the Monday Waffle.
Well, Perth were looking to snap their 13-game losing streak, but unfortunately they couldn't, and they went down by 82 points to West Perth. 21 goals, 18, 144. Sounds like a dart score. 144 to 9 goals, 8, 62. And Shane Nelson had his own ball the whole day, didn't he?
He did. He gathered 52 touches.
28 kicks and 24 handballs, 12 marks, 3 tackles, 8 inside 50s, that's almost a
incredible
game. Unbelievable. And he had Aaron Black as well with him running around.
Yeah, he did. And Aaron Black had 39, 18 marks. So,
and Rowan Kerr, 38.
Rowan Kerr, 38.
Did Perth touch the ball?
Well, West Perth had 475 disposals to 290 from Perth.
Unbelievable. And marks, they had 154 to 73 marks. Oh, my God. It's unbelievable. But and it was Anthony Salekis and Dan Hunt's last game. And Anthony Salekis went out in style, having 31 disposals. That might be a record for the great man. And 4 goals, 4. So he could have kicked 8.
Yeah, exactly. It was a bit of a disappointing way, I guess, to end the season for Perth. But Callum Collard, he kicked 3 goals. Troppiano, he got 29. Florio, 24, and White, 22.
This might be the last time we speak about Perth. What can you expect from them next season? Do you reckon they will improve? Are they going to be about the same mark next season?
Well, they've got the new coach.
Well, they haven't got a new
coming.
Coach.
Well,
they've had to reopen the applications.
Applications,
for
have
it.
They? Oh, okay.
So that'll close, I think it's mid-September. So, God, they're just struggling, aren't they? I can't see any sort of positives from this season, really.
Yeah, I feel bad putting it into them, but hopefully things improve for them next year, because they do have quite a lot of talent on their list, and really I think that they should be going places. So,
as for the Falcons, a disappointing season, not making the finals after winning the premiership last year.
Yeah, maybe a premiership hangover, unfortunately, for them. But
I think there is a premiership hangover. Yeah, definitely. They were just so up and down, weren't they? I think they lost a lot of games early on. Then won a couple, then they lost games that they shouldn't have.
And well, they absolutely smashed East Perth by 100 points.
Yeah.
Like in round 5 or something earlier this year, round 4. So to do that, and then they lost games that they really should have won. And, yeah, finishing outside the top 4 and not getting to, you know, have that second go at it at a back-to-back premiership. So
disappointing season for these two teams, but they'll be hoping for a better 2015 campaign.
Hi, this is Basil Zemplis. Mondays, can't wait for Mondays to come around, because you know what that means. Online, there it is, my brand new edition of the Monday Waffle.
South Fremantle and Peel Thunder battled it out at Fremantle Oval on Saturday afternoon, with the Bulldogs recording their 5th straight win, winning by 30 points over the Thunder, 14 goals 20, 104 to 10 goals 14, 74. Benny Saunders, Big Benny Saunders, we like to call him here on the Monday Waffle, got his second Bernie Naylor medal in 3 years.
That's right, 59 goals. So he took it out. He kicked 5 goals on the weekend and took it out over 8 goals to Matthew Boland from Subi, who got 51.
It was the last 2 weeks that Saunders really stamped his authority on it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
4 against Subi and 5 this weekend. And Boland didn't really do much in either of those games.
No, yeah, so.
But good on Benny Saunders.
Good on Ben.
Yeah, and he came back from the knee injury.
That's right,
so
yeah.
So awesome, awesome for Ben, and awesome for South Fremantle in Paul Hazelby's last game as coach.
Yeah, Ashton Hams, he had a day out, another day out for South. He had 33 touches, 7 tackles. Guglielmana, 28. Bairstow, 26. Tim Kelly, 24. So South players are doing very well at this later stage of the year. Unfortunately, they obviously don't make finals, but it's good to see.
Ashton Hams, how big of a chance is he for the Sandover?
Oh, pretty big.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
Him and Schloeth are really going to be polling votes. Might be stealing a few votes off each other, though. As for appeal, I don't think they'll have many chances for the Sandover, but Matthew DeBoer put his claim for an AFL recall, having 35 touches, 16 kicks, 19 handballs, and 4 tackles. Good game from him, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. He was excellent. And Brendan Jones as well finished with 32 touches, Ballard 30, and Eddie Dan 28.
Anthony Morabito got a knock to his knee late in the second quarter, and they held him out for the rest of the game. And Clancy Pearce didn't play the second half either. So Peel might have actually won it, you know, with those guys on the paddocks. But they're only down by 2 points at three-quarter time, and the Bulldogs just pulled away at the end.
That's right. And they'll both, I guess, look to season 2015.
You're listening to the Monday Waffle.
We're joined on the line now by Subiaco's Jason Bristow. Jason, well done on the win on the weekend. You've got East Perth this week. How are the boys feeling coming into the clash?
Yeah, I'm extremely happy to have a win after having a couple of losses against pretty informed teams, South and Claremont. But yeah, great to have a win, and boys can't wait now.
Now, you already knew that you were pretty much playing East Perth in the first week of the final. How have the past 2 weeks been, like getting beaten by those two informed teams? Did you sort of rest it a bit, or just beaten on the day by a good team?
Definitely a little bit of combo of the two. It is a bit of a funny feeling when you know that far out that you can't really lose second spot. But you know, without doubt, you know, once you're playing the game, you're giving it your all. But without doubt, Claremont and Souths were playing some pretty sharp footy this time of year.
And also on this weekend, you still play at Medibank Stadium, so no real home ground advantage for the Royals.
Yeah, look, I think we miss out on a car park for our home game, but I think that's about it.
Yeah, that's you're able to live without that one.
Yeah.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but since you've been at the club, I think you've played in the two losing grand finals, and when you came in 2008, they won, but I don't think you played in that one. What's different about this year for Subi? Why can Subi win the grand final this year?
Yeah, definitely a different look side to those 08, 09 days. I think Darren Rumble would be the only one left from that era. So, it's been a few-year process, I guess, to where we are. Good mix of young guys who've had good games the last couple of years. Been a couple of lean years, but I think those games into them has really developed them well. And some handy recruiting really just topped up a couple of areas for us. And, yeah, we've got a good combination at the moment.
Now, Lachie Delahunty returned returned yesterday. What does he do to the makeup of the team?
Yeah, he's a bit of a freak, Lachie. He's he runs like a midfielder. You know, he's almost ruckman height, and you know he's quite an athlete, so he takes a great grab. So he'd be very hard to match up on, and yeah, it just gives us a lot of X factor. You know, wherever we play him, I guess.
Speaking of Delahunty and players like Boland and also Kyle Horsley, who's your pick for the Sandover this year? What player from Subi would rate themselves as a pretty good chance?
Well, there's a couple of boys who rate themselves, but probably the only genuine chance is Kyle Horsley for sure. He's his middle part of the year. He'll be getting a number of best ons, I would have thought. He probably might hurt him missing a few games early, but I'd say he'll charge home.
Were you surprised that he could return to such good form after that knee injury last year playing in the AFL?
Oh, not at all. I thought he was probably pretty stiff, not to a poorly timed injury, I guess. And I guess playing at Gold Coast, where it had a number of high draft pick midfielders, probably got the nod before him. And I reckon if he didn't get that injury, probably would have got a chance somewhere else. So yeah, no surprise that quality of football he's played this year.
Now, I know you've got the finals coming up, but in the off-season, I hear you're a bit of a keen golfer. Are you going to be getting out
on the green?
Yeah, on the greens.
On the greens. do enjoy a hit, especially when we've got a little bit more time on my hands. Usually try to organise a bit of a tour in the off-season with a couple of housemates and friends. So, yeah, don't mind a bit of a bash.
Well, hope you get some time over the off season to get on the fairways and hit a few birdies. So good luck on the weekend, Jason, and let's hope you can finish off the season pretty well for Subiaco.
No worries, thanks guys.
It's Monday, so it's the Monday Waffle. Keep listening.
For a change, we had a Sunday afternoon game, and it was Subiaco hosting East Fremantle at Medibank Stadium. Subiaco needed to get back on track after a couple of losses heading into the finals, whereas East Fremantle needed to hold on to third spot to host the final. They did, even though they lost. It was 12 goals, 9, 81 to 8 goals, 8, 56, and it was pretty close for three quarters.
It was, and East Freo were leading by 2 points at three-quarter time. They had a 35-point buffer, I think it was, in order to get that home final and, yeah, managed to hang on by 25 points, as you said.
Yeah, and that's pivotal for their first final against
Absolutely,
Swans.
Yeah.
Because Swans really do play well at Steel Blue, and we saw a couple of weeks ago where East Freo just dominated the Swannies. So we may see that again, won't we?
Yeah, and if they win that, they'll be coming back to the turf at Medibank Stadium, so a few high possession getters for the Lions. We've got Jason Bristow, 26, Wade Toomey, 29, and also we had
Kyle Horsley, 35.
Yeah.
Another three-vote game?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's doing well. I know you like Horsley.
Mm. Yeah, I think he's going to play really well, and we just heard from Jason Bristow. He thinks Horsley will be the best chance for Subiaco in the sand of a medal, so That's a real good positive, individual positive for Subiaco with Kyle Horsley's form this season.
Absolutely, yeah. For East Fremantle, though, we've got Danny Charters coming from the back line. 2 goals, so a good effort there, 19 touches. And also Cameron Eardley, 23. Rory O'Brien, 26. Jamie McNamara, 20. And Mark McGough, 25.
Brad Dalziel returned to the team this week as well with 26 touches, so they've got their midfield back intact, and, you know, I'm pretty excited for this weekend. I just love finals footy, Katie. Let's just get going. This is sort of like a little finals preview. We could see
it
this
is.
In the second week of the finals.
We could see a repeat between, hopefully, them and Subi.
Why do you hope that?
Because I hope East Perth wins this weekend.
There we go. But no, I think this actually will be the second week of the finals game.
Prelim.
Yeah, the prelim, sorry. So yeah, good win for Subiaco. They needed that win, as Jason Bristow said, to just get a bit more confidence heading into the finals.
It's the Monday Waffle!
With the end of the home and away season, that means it's the end of our tipping competition for season 2014. And Katie, we have a winner.
It couldn't have come quick enough for me, though, but we do have a winner, Stampy, and it's you.
Yes.
So congratulations.
Stoked. I had to work for it. I know Jack and Bonnie aren't here, and they'll probably get into me because I'm talking myself up, but I had to get a few tips back on Jack and finish 2 points ahead of him. I got 59 tips for the season. Jack and Bonnie finished equal second on 57, and look, you had a strong finish to the season. You were sort of like Claremont and South Freo.
Well, not this past weekend. I got one tip out of four, so that wasn't any good, but yeah.
You finished on 49. So
not a bad effort.
Not a bad effort with all your roughies per week, so Jack and Bonnie got 3 for this round. They went with South Freo. Well, Jack went with South Freo, Claremont, West Perth, whereas Bonnie differed. She went for East Perth and tips Subi for the win. And I got 2 and you got 1. So not the best finish of the season for us two, but look, I'm happy to get the bragging rights for season 2014.
No, well done. Yep.
All right, let's get on to the finals games this weekend, and that's what we're all excited about for. The first game, well, both games are on Sunday afternoon at 2:15 p.m. It's all Father's Day. It's a good Father's Day present for Waffle fans. And it's East Fremantle versus Swan Districts in the elimination final at Atom Stadium, East Fremantle Oval. What do you think is going to happen here?
I think that the Sharks will come out firing and have a good win.
Yeah, I do as well. They beat them a couple of weeks ago, didn't they?
Yeah, they did, yep. And so I think they'll have the confidence of that.
Yeah, 62-point win a couple of weeks ago at Atom Stadium. Swans have had the week off. Now, I hope Greg Harding has just got into them about it, what they need to do, just gone through that tape. of round 22. I don't know. It's going to be close. Hopefully they'll get a few of their players will pass fitness tests. I know Talon Ames went off with an injury, so to blame Boakhorst and one of the Blakely twins. They all had injuries, so if they don't get up, East Fremantle could run away with it.
Yeah, well, it's sort of looking like that at the moment, considering the form that they were in last time they versus Swanee. So, yeah, and I think East Fremantle, the way they've been playing lately, I know that they had the loss to Subi, but I think they'll be a pretty good threat.
Who's your tip and by how much?
East Freo, and I'm going to do a big tip by 45 points.
I'm with you as well. I'm going East Fremantle by 38. In the other final for this weekend, it's first-placed East Perth taking on second-place Subiaco. The Lions have the edge over the Royals this season. They won by 24 points in the first game of the season on Good Friday, and then they backed it up with a 28-point win later in the season in round 19. Are you confident of your Royals winning?
I am confident. You've got to be confident, Stampy, and I think that...
Well, I think they should be confident as well.
Yeah, well, I think that, yeah, they should be, that's right, and I think they've got a very good chance, and if they win, they know that if they win, they go straight into the grand final, so there's plenty to play for.
No real home ground advantage, apart from the car park situation that Jason talked about before.
That's right, yeah. But it'd be great just to go straight into the grand final, have that week off.
Oh, it's such an advantage, isn't it?
Absolutely. Last year, East Perth had to play, you know, the elimination and then the prelim against Claremont to get through to the grand final. And it'd certainly make it probably a bit easier to have that week off.
Obviously, with the partnership with West Coast and East Perth, now West Coast are out of the finals. How many Eagles are we going to see play for East Perth during the final series?
I don't know. I'm not too sure, but the East Perth players are playing. The East Perth Waffle players are playing really well, so it'll be interesting to see.
But we will see a few, won't we?
Oh yeah, there'll be a few there. But
I think if Scott Lysett plays, and he very well could, because Subiaco have a very tall lineup: Delahunty, McDougal, Stockley, and their forwards Boland. You know, they might even bring back Scott Lysett to team up with Paul Johnson and Callum Sinclair.
Match them talls for talls.
Could be an interesting battle. It's really good. Who's your tip and by how much?
I'm going to stick with my heart and my head. I'll say both. And I'll say East Perth by 3 goals.
God, this is so tough. Yeah. Because Subi haven't lost to them this season. I'm really stuck, to be honest. I'm really stuck. I know. This is silence. I can't even think. I'm going to go with East Perth to buck the trend. I think they're just going to be too good. And if they want to win the premiership, they have to win this game. So East Perth by 4 points in a close one.
And they could very well be meeting each other come grand final day. So one just might have to do it the longer way.
Yep. And so myself and Katie are going for East Perth and East Fremantle. The loser of the East Perth Subi game will play the winner of East Fremantle and Swans.
Yes.
Yeah, so we think it's going to be Subi and the Sharks the following week.
Yep.
We'll see how our tips go for then. Also, in a couple of weeks, now that the season's starting to die down, we're going to go through the Sandover medal, going to have predictions for that, and also a team of the year in the next couple of podcasts.
I'm looking forward to that, yeah, team of the year.
We've already had a bit of a discussion and a little bit of conjecture surrounding the midfield position.
Well, I wanted to put too many East Perth players in, but you won't let me.
Who do you want? Brendan Lee, Craig Wolf, and Payne.
Yep.
Katie, there's no chance those three are getting into that team altogether. We've got Rory O'Brien, we've got Horsley, we've got Blackwell. Oh.
Hams.
Hams, Schleuth. We could talk about this for ages. Good luck to your team on the weekend, and hopefully let's have a good round of footy, and one team will find themselves in the grand final. I'm Michael Stamp, and I've been joined by Katie DeHare. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next week on the Monday Waffle.